Welcome to the Everyday Innovator Podcast for product managers, developers, and innovators. Your host is Chad McAllister, who gives you innovation training your customers will love you for. Get ready to take your career to the next level, for the doctor is in.
Hi, this is Chad. This episode will be a little bit different than previous ones. In this episode, I'm going to tell a story. And I actually started to tease the story a bit in a previous episode, number 23, which featured Sam, the CEO of Eyeline Golf. They're a creator of golf training aids. The first time I met Sam, I was visiting his design studio to learn about what he does. He explained that his company makes golf training aids and showed me one he was currently working on, pointing to two plastic strips on the artificial turf that covered the floor. They were shaped in a cross pattern, and he needed a way to connect the two strips so they could slide up and down and side to side, but had not yet determined the best way to do it. He asked me what I did, and I told him that I help companies build products that customers love, focused on training their product managers and instilling the product management processes they should use. He thought maybe I could help him with this problem he had of connecting the two strips of plastic. I actually did have access to a small team that might be able to give him some ideas. And if you listen to episode 23, you know that team consisted of 8 7- to 12-year-olds. They were part of a Future Innovation Leaders class that myself and my wife and another teacher did. And we were together with them for 8 weeks, meeting one day a week for 3 hours each week. And the class was structured around three different parts. There was a 3D design component where we learned how to do 3D design and then see that realized into physical objects by printing them. There was a robotic component where we would build robots using the Mindstorm Legos EV3 and then program them to do different operations and see how changing the program would make a change to the robot's actions. And the theme for both of those, and the main theme for the class, was how do we go from the digital world into the physical world and see how the changes we make in the digital world through programming or through 3D modeling take shape, either in the actions of the robot or physically if we print out the 3D model. We also had a third piece, which was communications. Each week, the students were working towards a presentation, and at the end of the 8 weeks, they shared that presentation with an audience of their parents. And the kids just did a wonderful job. The workflow, real quick, for each one of these pieces was, for robots, we would use the Mindstorm Legos EV3, and we used a training book with the training materials from No Starch Press, and I'll add that information in the show notes. The book is called Art of Lego Mindstorms EV3 Programming by Terry Griffin. For the 3D design, our workflow was to create a model in Tinkercad, which is a freely available web-based 3D CAD tool. We would slice that model then locally on our laptops in Makerware, also freely available. And we print it on an open source printer, a FlashForge 3D printer. The communications component, they did discussions each week, such as what did it mean to be a leader, what were characteristics of a good leader. They also played some games. And why this episode is different is I want you to hear about the kids' reflections on their experience in this Future Innovation Leaders class. And there's an important point at the end of this that I will be asking you about. So please listen, enjoy hearing what the kids' experiences were like, and I will also connect this back to the story of Sam and the golf training aid he was creating. What follows is a discussion that I had with about half of the students from the Future Innovation Leaders class, and also two of the moms, after the class ended, asking them to reflect on their experiences. First question is, why did you want to attend?
Because I thought it was very interesting, and I like to make robots out of Legos. And my mom said it was kind of like a Lego class. Mm-hmm. So, and I've never seen a 3D printer. And I just thought making a Lego brick and how these other people make Lego bricks is pretty cool.
Okay, Because I really like engineering, and I thought it'd be fun to try out something actually related to that instead of just imagining it. Mm-hmm. I just thought it'd be pretty fun to build robots, program them. And then when I came here, I found out that we were going to do design and 3D printing. That was just a happy coincidence.
I asked the students what they liked. Remember, we had three components to the class: robotics, 3D design, and communications. And an unstated objective, but one that was clearly obvious, was that each student also further developed their skills using a computer during the class.
I liked the robots part.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the bumper bot program.
Describe the bumper bot program.
The robot would move forward, and then when it hit the wall, it would back up, and it knew when it hit the wall because it had a touch sensor.
Hmm. And what was the robot itself like?
It was made out of Legos.
Okay, so the Lego Mindstorm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it had...
EV3.
The EV3, yeah. And how many wheels did it have?
Three.
Three wheels? That must be why we call it a tri-bot.
Yeah.
Cool. So did you like the building of the robot, or did you like the programming part?
I like the programming part.
Cooper, what was something that you liked that happened in the film?
I probably liked the 3D printing.
I like designing things for 3D printing. It's really fun.
Tell us briefly about the owl you made.
Oh, well, I made an owl eyeglasses holder for my sister. So I downloaded a design for an owl and cut it off at, like, the shoulders and added stands for her eyeglasses.
How did you figure out what size to make it so that eyeglasses would fit?
I stole them and measured them.
So you measured the glasses?
Looking.
Yeah. And then how did you still know they would fit the owl?
I created the shape of her glasses in the design software using the measurements I took, and I used
So you actually created a model of her glasses in the 3D design software. We used Tinkercad.
And then I used that to create the correct holds for the stand.
And did it work?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. And that was a long print for us because it was a good size owl. And do you remember what I said, how long it took to print?
You said 14 hours.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It took forever. I liked a lot of things, but one of the things I liked was the color sensor program on the Mindstorms. I made a program to sense color, but instead of saying the color, it would say something funny.
Oh.
That was funny.
Like if it saw blue, it'd say Bravo or something.
Yeah. My favorite part was probably all the 3D printing and designing,
mm-hmm.
and Thingiverse and all that stuff.
What tell us about Thingiverse?
Thingiverse is a website where you don't have to design your own things. You can take other people's things and download it and print it up. You can print it without having to design it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also download it and change it on Tinkercad to how you want it and print it.
Mm, so you can modify the design.
And you upload your things onto it so other people can print it.
Just being with all my friends and all you guys.
I liked in the robots and the programming, we could like change it. Like there was a program we were supposed to do, but then we could change it and make it our own.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could make a certain thing, but we could change it in 3D printing. And I also actually like communication.
I just love being with this class.
Good.
And thank you for inviting me.
I also asked for a parent's view of the class.
Oh, I thought Ellie would really be interested because she really does love engineering type things. And I also think she's a great communicator, but we all could use more practice with communication. And I think it's very important. So I was happy that you had that as part of the class.
Mm-hmm. And as the class was going on, was there, I don't know if there were any conversations about, oh, I wish they were doing something different, or, you know, or just how you were seeing it impact Ellie.
I saw Ellie spend a lot of time designing things in her free time.
Hmm.
She really enjoyed it so much that she would spend time designing different things, like her sister's birthday present.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty neat.
There were also some things that they appreciated less than other things, including that we missed fulfilling an expectation that we set, strawberry stickers.
Bring in a presentation every week and not getting the strawberry stickers.
Oh, so tell us about the strawberry stickers.
She said we can get strawberry stickers, and she forgot them, so she just gave us panda stickers.
So this was
our... smelled like gross cologne.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Presentation in front of all the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Nervous.
So yeah. We asked you for the very end, we were together 8 weeks, and we asked you, you knew this along the way at some point, and you started preparing for this, but we asked you to prepare and then do a presentation for the parents about something related to the innovation class.
Well, I didn't really like all the talking and communication. I liked the games, but not all the talking.
Oh, yeah, that game was really fun when we played the spaceship thing.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us real quick about what was the spaceship game you played for communications?
Everyone had a different role, and we were all in a spaceship running out of gas over an alien planet that we needed to negotiate or take over the planet because Earth was going to explode. So I was the engineer, and it was really fun, like, just making up futuristic ideas that, like, a force field, holographic technology... That was really awesome.
To try to prevent exploding. What were some of the other roles in the game?
I was the captain.
The captain?
I was the driver.
The driver? The pilot?
Yes.
The sleeping pilot.
Do you remember your role?
The ambassador.
Ambassador? Do you remember yours?
Doctor.
The doctor.
There was also a linguist, a wheel technician.
Ben was like the guy that would never agree. He only cared for himself. He didn't care for anyone else.
A dictator? Was it a dictator? No, not a dictator. It was called something else.
You had a diplomat.
Yeah, a diplomat.
Oh, yeah. He never agreed
with anyone. He was just concerned about Earth. He was like, let's just kill all the aliens.
Wearing a diplomat.
Was that our position?
Pushing the bomb down to Earth.
And, Gecko was the wheel technician.
Yeah, the wheel technician only cared about his wheels.
Don't send my wheels down!
Why did we have communications as a part of the class?
Because she needed to make sure that we can communicate instead of just not talking all the time.
Don't you communicate better at communicating with
communicate our ideas instead of just doing them. Because that aspect is very important if you're going into innovation, being able to communicate with other people.
Why do we think that's very important?
Well, if you have a really great idea or something, you want to share it so that it can help other people too.
Mm-hmm.
Not sit in the closet with it and keep it to yourself.
Yeah, because you guys are doing amazing things to create new designs and then see them realized in a shape on a 3D printer, or to make the robot do something that it wasn't doing before through the programming that you do. And if you want to have anyone take notice of what you're doing, you need to be able to communicate with others about what you have been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
There was another communication exercise that I unfortunately did not see all of it, but it looked like a lot of fun, where I think you were giving instructions to Mrs. Katie.
The peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, that was bad. She stuck her hand in the peanut butter.
What was the objective? What were you supposed to do?
Well,
tell her the instructions.
We were supposed to instruct her, but we didn't know how to... we were thinking we would just, like, tell her, take the peanut butter out of the jar with a knife, but we had to be really, really specific, because first she stuck the wrong end of the knife in, and then she stuck her hand in, and she got the peanut butter all over the place. It was hard.
Sounds very messy, too.
It was the worst peanut butter and jelly sandwich I've ever seen.
I felt bad for her, because she had to clean all that up.
So, what did you guys learn from that exercise?
Give them the right instructions.
How to adjust for different audiences.
Mm-hmm. Hard to give specific instructions.
You should think about how much your audience already knows.
Oh, that's good.
I mean,
that was hard for us because we didn't know that she was going to act like that.
Do you remember the point at which everyone was giving her instructions very loudly?
Yes.
And she didn't know what to listen to, and she was just going, I don't know what to do. And
quiet.
And one of you piped up and said, wait, let's take turns.
That was Anna Caroline, I think.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we were both... Yeah. Anna Caroline and we were both like shouting over all the noise. We need to go around the table. This is not working.
I think that peanut butter example sounded really
interesting,
creative, and helpful.
Well, yeah. I feel sorry for the teacher's husband because he had to eat it.
He had to eat it?
I think so.
Oh.
On the topic of communications, I asked a few of the students to share what they did for their final presentation in the class.
So, my favorite part was the 3D designing and printing.
And what did you say in your presentation about 3D design?
That I really liked it, and it's a lot of fun, and I liked having Cooper as a partner.
It's amazing to think that the technology came out in the 1980s.
Because was that before or after the cell phone?
Before.
Wait, 3D printer came out before the cell phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in your presentation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was for rapid prototyping, though. It's they used it because it was cheaper and faster.
Did they use it to prototype a cell phone?
No.
That is really
maybe
cool.
They did.
During the discussion with the kids, they did what they frequently did during the class, which was helping each other solve a problem. Here, after they spent some time helping one person with a computer question, I tried to steer the discussion back to what they found valuable about the class.
And I saw a lot of this going on in the class, too, that I really enjoyed. It was just the collaboration, you know, and you guys helping each other.
If someone didn't know something, someone could help them.
Kind of like Elia with her picture. She needed to get a picture, and she did the glasses with the mustache on it. And he needed help doing that, so he showed us how to do that.
Yeah, it was great collaboration.
Yeah.
And you learned about a lot of other things that just happen. Some of...
Like Ben, his dolphin thing.
What was the dolphin
Ben
thing?
He dragged a picture on to his 3D print thing.
But what Ben did is he took one block that was an image generator. If you drag an image to the window that comes up, it will make that shape. And it'll either emboss it or deboss it onto a block.
Yeah, it was really fun to make things, help other people while just talking, having fun.
The students discovered Thingiverse.com, which is a place to find and share 3D models. And they discovered also that they could use it for collaboration when they were not in the class.
We ended up creating our own group on Thingiverse for the 3D designs that you guys created, and you could load them up there. I had to do it. Someone,
Ben.
Yeah.
Ben and Anna Caroline. There's a Phil, then there's a Phil 2, I think. Then there's a Pets.
And it turns out, while that 3D printing was a lot of fun for the students, they really enjoyed exploring 3D design.
It's just something you can make whatever you want. Even if you're not going to print it, you can just look at it.
Yeah. If I'm bored, sometimes I'll just go on there and make random stuff. Like, just stick some shapes together and make a few holes here and there.
One time, I just made a ball just... Put a little block right there.
I just
made a ball.
I'll just make pointless things that I would never print because they're completely useless and I just did it for fun.
Like a weird box.
The thing I made would probably take a while to print.
So Cooper made a globe theater on Tinkerverse. You know the globe theater where Shakespeare did his plays in England?
Oh, yeah.
And the neat part was, and this is something that he hasn't printed because it might be... Was it too big to print, or what? I don't know what we finally decided why it wouldn't print. But the neat part is that you can zoom in like through the windows and look at the interior and look at things close up. It's just a neat way to see things in 3D that you've built, even if you're not going to print them. It's just fun to be able to rotate things and look under them and inside and get a different perspective.
My favorite thing on Tinkercad is Star Wars. I made little penguins. And
you made penguins?
Yeah.
How do penguins relate to Star Wars?
I made little penguin troopers.
And
I made
penguin
Darth Vader. And I made the little guns, so they're like surrounding Darth Vader, trying to protect him.
To share the focus of the class again, we were seeking to examine the connection between the digital world and the physical world. For example, creating a computer program that controlled the actions of a robot, or making a 3D model in Tinkercad and being able to touch the model and hand it to friends in a few hours after 3D printing it. These students are digital natives, being born after the digital revolution brought about by computers, web technologies, and cell phones. As a digital immigrant myself, it was amazing to see how quickly and naturally they learned the digital design and programming concepts that we dealt with. While the robotic work was awesome, and the communication training important, 3D design and printing is what most impacted students.
I think that through designing different things, I've learned that, you know, like the most novel ideas, like things that we won't be able to accomplish until like many years into the future, are actually like really possible.
I thought 3D printers were just little things that just print Legos, but now I know that they can print a bunch more
like things. A car.
Yeah, like a car. In a house you can give to somebody maybe. I think you can like change the world with that. Like, because you can make stuff you couldn't make before. And 3D printers kind of help you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't experienced that.
I started the story by sharing my meeting with Sam, the CEO of iLine Golf. He had the problem of wanting to create this putting training tool, but needed a way to couple these two pieces of plastic so they could slide with each other. I gave the kids this task. They spent about an hour coming up with different designs. They worked together to create four distinct designs for his putter trainer. We printed each and then discussed the pros and cons with Sam. He selected one and we refined the prototype, and then we printed over 100 of them that went out on the PGA Tour for feedback. That's Sam's lead users. He figures if he can get PGA professional players to use the training tools, then the weekend leisure golfer would also use them. So right now we are waiting to hear what he learned and what we need to change about the prototype. This was a wonderful experience for the kids to be involved with the design of a prototype that will lead to a product that is actually used in the marketplace. Real world experience. As I said in the beginning of this episode, this one was going to be a little bit different. And if this isn't your cup of tea, that's okay. Next week, we'll go back to the normal interview format, and I will have expert guests to help you with product management development and innovation. But here's the main message of this episode. As product managers, developers, and innovators, what can you do to help the next generation of innovation leaders? I think this is a really important question for us. Your experiences, the projects you've worked on, the processes you know, and certainly the mistakes we've all made, are valuable to the next generation to help them learn. Helping our future innovation leaders can be as simple as telling your kids or a friend who has kids about something like Tinkercad and how easy it is to learn and it's fun to design with. Maybe you have a niece or nephew who would love to have a Lego Mindstorm robotic set. Okay, it's an expensive gift, but it is one that's wrapped with creativity and problem-solving opportunities. Or you can volunteer in your local school to help with the robotics or design programs. More and more schools have such programs. And if you can't find a place to volunteer, then create your own version of the Future Innovation Leaders class. Whatever your interests, electronics, mechanics, materials, programming, and so many more things that come into innovation, a quick web search will help you come up with numerous learning aids for kids. Here's the point. Just do something to help our future innovation leaders. As I often say, whatever you do, keep innovating. Thanks for listening, and join me next week when we're going to go deep into user-centered product development with an expert who has over 20 years of experience.
Thank you for listening to Product Innovation Training Your Customers Will Love You For. To learn more, please check out the blog at theeverydayinnovator.com. Keep innovating.